It is indeed an honor tonight to have Ben McNeese come and share the word with us. He has been a friend of Texas Christian Church for many years. We appreciate his carpentry skills in the construction of the fellowship hall and in the renovation of our sanctuary. He did a lot of work, and we also appreciate his artistic skills. As you notice, the cross behind me, which was made out of one of the beams of the walls. This is original 1875 wood that went into making that cross. Also out front, if you've ever noticed our bell with the Texas Star and the dates painted on there, that was Ben, as well as the sign. We have the letterboard on one side, and he painted the other side. So we have appreciated so much what he has done. Personally, I also count Ben a friend, and I appreciate him. And throughout the years, I've seen him grow immensely in love for God's word and the desire to communicate that, and I am so happy that he is willing to come and share the word with us. And so please welcome Ben McNeese.
Thank you, Scott, for that introduction. Good evening to you all. I'm glad to be here. Glad to see all of you. As Scott mentioned, my name is Ben McNeese, for those of you who don't know me. Oh boy. Have you ever heard the expression, nervous as a long-tailed tomcat in a room full of rocking chairs? Well, for everyone out there in a rocking chair, I want you to stop rocking. Scott would greatly appreciate that. He's very nervous. As I said the last time I was up here, I'm not after your job. But this is the second time I've been asked or been so graciously been allowed to come up here and speak before this church. I want to thank him and thank all of you as well. I hold no ministerial degrees, only a desire and an honor to honor God and glorify him and his word. I would like to say to anyone else that might be considering standing up here behind this pulpit, I think it's an honor, and I'm humbled to be here, and I encourage anyone that is thinking about doing this to do it. I need to mention two men, Walter Mendenthal and Barry Cooper. These two men have commentaries on the subject that I'm going to speak about, and I've borrowed some of their words and their ideas. I found them to be truthful and inspiring, and maybe even eye-opening. Now, some things I'm going to say tonight, you've heard many times before, but I think they need to be mentioned again and remain fresh in our hearts and our minds. So let's pray. Father God, we bow before you. Thank you for who you are and your love. In our Bibles, Proverbs 16:19, you wrote, "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." Thank you for what a great and wondrous source of confidence. You determine our steps. You have our backs, Lord. Thank you for working even our mistakes into a profitable outcome. Praise you for your excellent wisdom. May our hearts and minds be receptive of your words. May these words only do you honor and glory for your name. In Christ's name, amen. So, to start, I'd like to ask a question. And the question is, why are you here today? Why are you here today? You may not realize it, but your attendance here is based on a gift. A great gift from the Almighty. This gift comes to us in the form of a word. It's a verb. It's to prefer, to do something. To want this describes the gift. Everyone is here today because You have made a choice. We need to, and the ones that we need to make and the ones that I'd like to discuss, God has given us this gift, the ability to make our own choices. Now, according to people who study these things, the average adult, you're not going to believe this, makes 35,000 choices a day. With a younger person, it's only around 3,000. What are we going to eat? When do we get up? The list goes on. Some things are simple things. Other things carry consequences, good and bad. This can be a life-changing power that we each have been entrusted with by our Creator to be good stewards of. To define the word, I don't know who came up with these intelligent descriptions, but I think you all agree, it wasn't that guy on the Beverly Hillbillies. Remember Jethro Bodine? He didn't think of this. But now they say there's a difference between decision and choices. Decision, that is a path selected as an outcome of various considerations. Choice is a path selected after all considerations have been made, examined, and put aside. In psychology, decision-making is regarded as a cognitive process resulting in the selection of a belief or a course of action among several alternative possibilities. Every decision-making process produces a final choice, which may or may not prompt action. Which in our beliefs, listening to religious scholars, believing what our Bible says, believing what Jesus said, we are and will make a choice or not to follow Him. Now, some people don't even realize they have this gift or this choice. That brings us to the believer. He is to tell the non-believer of his choices. That is being obedient. His great love of all mankind and the choices He made for them. Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creations. Walter Mendenthal's word speaks of, when you understand the power of choices, you can create opportunities that can change the course of your life forever. Or in this case, the whole human race. Good or bad? What do you choose? Are you making choices that are leading you down a path of destruction or success? Choose you this day who you will serve. So, we have choices. To believe is to obey and to love. Or our second is not to believe. People who say, I don't know if I believe all that religious stuff, or emphatically say, I don't believe, are making a choice. They choose not to accept God's love and be obedient, His great gift to them. So this is one of our great gifts God has rewarded us with. He has given us free will to be able to choose from the choices of life. But God, He has choices too. He chose all of us before the four corners of the universe was laid. He chose to love us, you and me. He chose to die for you and me. Choose you this day who you will serve. So from the very beginning of time, when He made Adam and Eve, He put Adam in the garden. Genesis 2:16-17. He commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you are not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. God gave them one of their first choices. I'll also add, the devil, now he too has choices. First, he chose to want to be like God. and with his pride was kicked out of the holy realm of heaven. He chose to lie and deceive Eve, which she chose to persuade Adam to eat. They chose not to obey, thus centered into God's creation. Choose you this day who you will serve. So this became the choice that ultimately affects every man, woman, and child ever since. Down through history, we have all heard of stories where people's choices have been made, some good and some eternally wrong. So this gift, the gift of free will, to be able to make a choice is a very powerful thing. But God gave us choices for a specific reason. Now we all agree God is great and he can do anything, right? So God could have made the world simply where no evil would be. But to do that means it wouldn't be incapable of love. He could have programmed us all to do and say loving things. But again, this wouldn't be true love. Love can only be genuine if it's freely chosen. So a person programmed and has the capacity to choose against love, they don't really have the capacity to choose for it. That would be meaningless. So God's whole purpose for creating humanity was to bring forth people capable of receiving and reflecting his love, being obedient. But with the choice of choosing against love, the price of the possibility of love is freedom. And with freedom comes the possibility of evil. So with our freedom, we receive choices. Judges 21:25, everyone did as they saw fit. Choose you this day who you will serve. In the book of Genesis, chapter 22, one of the greatest choices ever made of a man was that of Abraham and his only son Isaac, which he loved. If you'll remember, God instructed Abraham to take his boy, his only son, and go into the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there on one of the mountains as a burnt offering. So the very next day, he saddled his donkey. He cut all the firewood. He took two servants and his son Isaac, and they set out on the journey. Can you imagine what he was thinking? Put yourself in this situation. How would you choose to sacrifice your son or daughter? That is loving God. It was also a choice of God to test him. Choose to be tested. Choose to love God. And he will choose to not let you down. So, with Abraham's choice, he blessed him. And we all fall into this blessing. God said, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sands of the sea. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. God provides constantly that the choice for good is always present and continually lifts us up from pain and doubt to freedom to live and to love again. Choose this day who you will serve. Ezekiel 18:21, if a man is righteous and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live, says the Lord God. The person who sins shall die. But if the wicked turn away from all their sins, they shall surely live. They shall not die. So with our bad choices, God makes a choice. If we choose to turn from sin and ask him, he chooses to forgive us. He chooses to love us, never to forsake us. Only when we choose to not choose him, not to obey him, will we surely die eternal separation. Now, Scott mentioned a few weeks ago about our choices and the outcome when we make an important choice in life. God already knows the outcome, and bad choices sometimes hurts innocent people. Or we ourselves suffer the consequences. We are totally responsible for what happens. He doesn't predestine our choices, but our outcome is predestined by our choices. In 2 Thessalonians 2:13, God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Choose you this day who you will serve. God created mankind to be like Him, to rule and have dominion over His creation, to learn to properly exercise such a level of responsibility. Man must first learn how to discern right from wrong, good from bad, and the wise from the foolish. Learning real wisdom involves learning how to make wise choices. From the beginning, God pointed out the right way, but He allowed human beings to be exposed to and make foolish choices. God is in control, but He has allowed Satan to have dominion over humanity for two basic reasons. First, Adam and Eve, our first parents, chose Satan's dominion over them. God wants all humanity to learn important lessons that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Jeremiah 10:23. And Satan's way leads to misery and suffering. As Christians, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit to help us overcome sin. 1 John 4:4. We have everything we need for life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:3. If we sin, we cannot blame our circumstances. We cannot blame the devil. We can only blame ourselves. We can recognize this problem in Romans 7:20. Only a loving God would risk granting full freedom to all. This glorious and crucial gift of freedom could only come from a just, transparent, and loving God. It is an honor to serve Him. God permits us all to live so we can choose Him or Satan. God is willing to be misunderstood and falsely accused while taking time to allow all to freely choose who they will serve. As they said on TV, Final Answer, we all have a final choice. Isaiah 45:23. All beings in heaven and earth, including the devil and his demons, will of their own free choice kneel before God and openly confess that He is truthful, fair, and righteous. No question will remain unanswered. All will admit that they are lost because of their refusal to accept God's love and salvation. They will confess they deserve eternal death. Sin will be purged from existence by the permanent destruction of all who chose it. The devil, the demons, and people who have followed them, God's word is clear on this point. Sin will never again arise to harm him or his people or his creation. Choose you this day who you will serve. The universe is watching the world. 1 Corinthians 4:9. The Bible says, we have been made spectacles to the world, both to angels and to men. The entire universe is watching as we each play a part in this controversy between Christ and Satan. As the controversy ends, every soul will fully understand the principles of both kingdoms and will have chosen to follow either Christ or Satan. Those who have chosen to ally with Satan will be destroyed with him. For the safety of the universe and God's people will finally be able to enjoy the eternal safety of their home in paradise. Our sinful world will soon end. At the first dawn, everything was good, very good. Genesis 1:31. Now the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. 1 John 5:19. Our world is either choosing to serve God or Satan. You are fooling yourself if you choose not to serve God. But that is your God-given freedom to choose. To choose His love and be obedient. Now this may sound harsh. The telling of someone's problems lies within himself and his choices. But learning to submit to God and obey His word, God can enable us to achieve victory over sin. Romans 7:24 and 25 and 1 John 5:3 through 5. He has given you that choice. Choose you this day who you will serve. In Deuteronomy 30:19, now we need to realize one important detail. None of us can change ourselves. Only God can give us strength and the ability to change our habits and the way we think, talk, and act. Only He can help us make good choices. We need God to heal us and strengthen us, make us secure and whole in Christ. Only then are we able to choose life on a regular basis. We need to pray. Ask Him for guidance and strength for to make wise choices. Reading His Word, finding His Word areas of where we struggle. There is power in the Bible. Read and study it. It is another great gift He has given us. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is alive and active. Barry Cooper comments on, if you choose not to make choices, the God of open options, 1 Kings 18:21, describes Israel's big decision on God and the false god called Baal. Elijah called on God's people to choose once and for all between the living God who delivered them or the false god who captured their affection. How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal is God, follow him. But they said nothing. They seemed unable or unwilling to make a choice. They wanted to hedge their bet, sit on the fence, keep their options open. Are we any different in the 21st century? Would you prefer to make an ironclad, no turning back choice, or one you could back out on if need be? Do we find ourselves afraid to make commitments? We may be worshiping the God of open options ourselves. What is frightening of all about the God of open options is that you may not even realize you're worshiping Him because He pretends not to be a God at all. In fact, He promises you freedom from all gods, all responsibilities. Keep your options open. He says, worship me. You don't have to serve anyone or anything. No commitment necessary. Total freedom. Similarly, the Israelites thought that by saying nothing, they were not committing idolatry. But when they chose not to decide, they made a choice. By refusing to act, they were actually turning away from the living God who rescued them and was committing an obscene act of spiritual idolatry. By worshiping the God of open options, some modern translations describes God's people as wavering between two different opinions. But the Hebrew is closer to our world, limping. They were limping their indecision. He didn't create us to live in fear of making a choice. God created us to commit, but to Him and to others. He created us to choose. It is wise to be careful in our choices, making a course, praying, to seek counsel from Scripture and from wise Christians. But there comes a point when waiting becomes procrastination, and this becomes not wise. There comes a point when not to choose becomes idolatry. It's a lack in trust in God, who ordains every decision we will make. Be wise, and then rest in God's total sovereignty and goodness. And choose, commit. Be wholehearted and single-minded. James 1, 6-8. Believe and do not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Trust that God is good and sovereign and redeems every choice we make, if even the choices of those who murdered his own son were ordained for our own infinite good. Acts 4, 27 and 28. Then how can we doubt that if he intends good to come from our choices, however ill-advised they may be? Another reason for rejecting the God of open options is because the living God himself is a God who chooses, and he made us in his image. Jesus said, "You cannot serve two masters. At any given moment, you must choose whom you will follow." And if you choose the God of open options, you cannot at that moment choose the triune God, the one who deliberately closed off all his options in order to save your life. Nothing narrows your opinions more than allowing your hands and feet to be nailed to a cross. Thank you, Jesus. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life. Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20. Choose the God of infinite possibilities, who chose to limit himself to a particular time, a particular place, and a particular people. Choose the God who closed off all other alternatives so that he could pursue for himself one bride. Choose the God who chose not to come down from the cross until she was won. The church, us, we are his chosen bride. Do you choose him as your groom? If so, this is why you're here today. You chose this day whom to serve. Finally, most of you here today have chosen to make a commitment to God, to follow him. But I ask, if there's anyone out there today that has not made that commitment, to come forward. We'd be glad to pray for you. I would like to thank you for all your opportunity and my opportunity to speak to you, and thank you.
Thank you, Ben, for presenting the word to us in a very powerful and in a very personal way. And I do want to extend the invitation he made at the beginning of his message. This pulpit is open, and I enjoy nothing more than to hear other voices behind this pulpit. I think it's healthy for us as a church, and I would be more than happy to work with anybody that would like to share God's word. We get it from a little different perspective, a little different angle, and I think it is good for all of us. Thank you, Ben. I know you put a lot of work into this message and a lot of time, even practicing it, and all of that was well worth it, as the Lord has spoken to us. As Ben said, if there is anyone here tonight who has not made that choice, that initial choice to follow Jesus, to commit your life to him, there is no better time to do it than now. Choose this day whom you will serve. Let's stand together and be dismissed in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of your word and that it never changes. We thank you tonight for Ben, who is willing to put in the time and the effort to prepare a message saturated with your word and to bring a challenge to us of how important our choices are and what a gift that is from you, a gift for which we are grateful. Help us to make wise choices based on your word and your spirit and your power. And then we commit the consequences of our choices into your hands to allow you to be God, to use us as you see fit. Go with us now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.